I have come to let you know that God's calling and his gifts are without repentance. Here's what that means. That means that God has not changed his mind on you, even if you've changed your mind on yourself. That means that no matter what circumstance or what issue, what failure, what problem, what success may have changed your mind about what God's called and gifted you to do, God has not changed his mind about what he's gifted and called you to do. And if you're going down a path that is different than what God has gifted and called you to, it's just as simple to turn and start to follow him. His call is without repentance. It is up to us to repent and turn and change our minds and begin to go after the thing that he captured us for in the first place. Amen? All right. Big church. Gotta love it. So I tried to, Pastor Ronnie, I tried to change this title because I really felt like there was a personal thing. When it says, when God says slow, he said, Seth, I want you to do that one. I'm like, Pastor Ronnie, what are you trying to say? It wasn't a foot race. He said, it really works with your story. And I said, yes. In my timing, it has been slow to get to here. It's been slow. And I've been here a year and a half, and some of you still don't know my story. Some of you know me. A lot of you see me and you watch me. And I've heard this a lot. We love how you love people. And I love how I love people too. And I just want to let you understand that he who has been given much loves much. And where much is given, much is required. And where grace is given, freely, freely grace should be given. And so I stand before you not as somebody that's just super spiritual and loves people. I stand before you as somebody that has failed over and over and over and over and has disqualified myself, although God never disqualified me. And it was through relationships that what I thought was slow was right on time. St. Augustine says, if God seems slow in responding, it's because he is preparing a better gift. He will not deny us. God withholds what you are not ready for. He wants you to have a lively desire for his greatest gifts, all of which is to say, pray always and do not lose heart. But it's hard not to lose heart when you feel like what you've been made for, created for, has been taken because of your own circumstance. I believe that there's thousands and thousands of people who God has called, and because of one thing or another in their life, they have disqualified themselves based on some structure, some religious structure. Maybe you've been divorced, like Beth and I. Failure. That caused me to say, you know what? Maybe it's just for me to love people. I'll never forget, ever, as I was working at Kirkpatrick Concrete, I delivered to a preacher, a pastor, respectable, loved Jesus. He knew what I'd gone through, and he said this, and I know this man meant well. He said, well, bless God, brother. Maybe one of these days you can teach a Sunday school class or something. I'd just like to tell him, hey, how you doing? God had better plans than you. Good morning. I would say he's watching online, but they don't get internet where he lives, so we're not going to worry about that. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I want you to know that my story is not much different than your story, probably. Success, failure, heartache, joy, unspeakable. And so while I could stand up here and tell you about me, I really feel like if we can go to someone that we can all relate to and look at through Scripture, I'm not yet in the Bible. I don't know if it's being written again, but maybe I'll make it. But right now I'm not in there. And so I believe that the Bible speaks, and I believe it still speaks today. I believe that we can learn everything that we need to learn through the pages of this word, and I believe it's infallible. I believe it's perfect. Because I believe that the one who wrote it is perfect. And here's the cool thing that I try to tell the students all the time. He lives on the inside of you and can help you. If you could get with your best favorite author and just say, what did you mean right here when you wrote this? That's what we have when we open our Scripture and we go to the Holy Spirit. And if we never try to let him take us somewhere, how can he ever be our guide? And this journey through these Scriptures. And so through my life, I've related with a few people. The greats, of course, but that was a joke, but that's okay. But as I was preparing this message, I thought about Moses, and Moses' story is all throughout Exodus and a few other books of the Bible, and so I really didn't want to get into that because I knew I wouldn't have a whole lot of time. So in Acts chapter 7, the story of Moses is actually condensed by Stephen as he's preaching. We're going to turn there. And I want y'all to understand that I'm not saying that I am like Moses. I'm not the leader of the children of Israel, but I am a leader of children. And so let's go there and look at this in verse 20. It says, at that time Moses was born, a beautiful child in God's eyes. His parents cared for him in home for 3 months. When they had to abandon him, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her own. Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in both speech and action. One day, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. He saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite. So Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites would realize that God had sent him to rescue them, but they didn't. The next day, he visited them again and saw two men of Israel fighting. He tried to be a peacemaker. Men, he said, you are brothers. Why are you fighting each other? But the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside, said, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? He asked, are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard that, he fled the country and lived as a foreigner in the land of Midian. And there his two sons were born. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word, to come and worship you in a place of freedom. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in this place. We thank you for the freedom that you give us. God, we thank you that your call is without repentance. You have not changed your mind about us, even if we have changed our mind about you. This morning, I pray for freedom and release of the captivity of our own mind, that we would be released into what you created us for in spite of ourselves and our circumstance. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's a few things that I want you to see. I want you to know, we all know Moses, and most of us know Moses, flannel graphs and all this stuff is, you know, lots of stories about him. Here the Bible says that he was a beautiful child in the eyes of God. But in Exodus chapter 2, verse 2, it says that he was also a beautiful child in the sight of his, he was a special baby. His mother said that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. At this time, they were killing all the baby boys. So I looked up that word special. I looked up that word beautiful. In the Greek, it's tov. It's the same word that's used in the creation account where God saw what he had made each day and said that it was good. I just wonder, when Moses wrote Exodus, I just have to think that, number one, he was a good baby, so he could be hidden for 3 months. That basically means he was quiet. I also think that maybe, just maybe, Moses could remember his mama saying, "You're such a good baby. So special." I also know this. I believe that there's a special thing that happens in the womb. I think that God gives mothers visions and ideas and hopes and dreams and of their children. I believe this happened with Moses' mother. I believe when the word here is special, I believe that he was absolutely special. That she had a dream about him. Maybe she had a vision of him as an Israelite woman in captivity. That maybe he was the deliverer that they were praying for. To liken it to my story, when I was 18 years old, my mother sat me down. I was really not a church-going young man at that time. Had not given my life to Christ, and my mom sat me down, and she was trying to help me understand who I was and what I was there for, and she said, "Son, when you were in my womb," and I cringed and said, "Mom, never say I was in your womb ever again, please." I was 18. It was a little weird then. Still a little weird. She said, "I had a dream, and in that dream, I heard the Lord tell me that you were going to be special and that you were to never wear a uniform." That's my mom. "That you were going to be in the ministry, but you were never to wear a uniform." And it was, I remember now that I was 18, I was wanting to enlist in the Navy, and she was trying to talk me out of the Navy. My mother knew that I had a plan. That God had a plan for me. And some of you moms in here, you know that your children, God has a plan for them. And you can tell them now, but they're not going to get it. And you can kind of guide them that way, but I would say just trust God, because you know God really kind of knows what he's doing. Don't over worry about it. You know, you can prophesy over them when they're 6 and try to guide them that way, but I'm telling you, if you push too hard, squish, just like grape. I think sometimes we see what God wants us to be, and we go after it so hard that we neglect where we are. And I think we need to be careful with that, because where you are is where God wants you right then. And if we're always looking for what God's prophesied over us, or somebody spoke a word over me and I'm just trying to get there, then we'll miss today. And we'll miss what happened yesterday, thinking that it was a failure because we weren't any closer. But maybe if God's economy is backwards, maybe God's timing is too. Maybe the worst things are directing you. Maybe the detour that you're on, and this is for somebody, maybe the detour that you're on that you think is taking you farther away from God is actually getting you closer to him, and you just don't recognize it because you see all these church people and you think that they're better than you and they're following Jesus more than you. But you need to understand that your journey is your journey, and you're getting somewhere, and God's going to use your journey for you. And don't judge me by where I sit as a church pastor, because you don't know my journey. And so I want you to understand that when God looks at every one of you, you right here, right here, right here, What's your shirt say? Stand up, let me see it. I will definitely, what does it say? I will definitely do that. Is that what that says? Come up here. Come up here, all the way up here. There you go. It says, I will definitely do that tomorrow. What's your name?
Ortego.
Say it again.
Ortego.
Ortego. All right. So let me tell you something. All y'all listen, because this is for you too, but really right now it's just him. Let me tell you something. When God made you and thought about you, he said, Ortego is going to be special. And what happened is he planned out a life all around you just for you. And as you live your life, there might be good things happen, there might be bad things happen. You know that yet God has a plan for you. You got me? Love you. Now go sit down. So I think sometimes God says, slow your roll. I see where I want to go, God. Let me get there. I'm going to get there. I'm going to manipulate. I'm going to do the things that I need to do. I'm going to get there. 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 Push, 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 push. And I think it says, God says, slow your roll. Is that up there? I'm trying to help him. We got graphics. Slow your roll. See, what happened was when Moses turned 40, something snapped on the inside of him. He was living in luxury. He was living in Pharaoh's house. He had everything that any Egyptian had. He had the freedom that he had, but his heart began to turn toward his Israelite brothers, and something inside of him changed. And I think what changed is with the passion and the purpose of the gift and the calling that God had placed on the inside of him from the beginning of his life began to take fruit. It began to have some fruit. And so he goes out as he's 40 years old and he tries to liberate the Israelites. How many of you ever been that way? Do you feel like God has done something inside of you and you just run to go do something? And he murders the Egyptian. Immediately knows that what he's done is a mistake, and he hides the body in hopes that nobody saw. But the Israelites saw. And to the Israelites, Moses was an Egyptian. He was living in Pharaoh's house, and they did not trust him. He did not have any equity with them. And so then it says that he tried to reason with them. Purpose came alive in Moses. But the timing was wrong. His methods were wrong. And the very people that he had a passion to help mocked, ridiculed, and accused him. 1999, actually 1998, I was at Rod Parsley's church. I got prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a mighty public way. It was on TBN for a long, long time. A lot, me just sitting there. Much younger, same hairstyle. Somehow I got in touch, Pastor Ron got in touch with me. They were looking for a student pastor. I came and interviewed. I was green, man. I was real green. Barely knew the Holy Spirit and was very, very arrogant, full of myself, and thought I was doing something. Interviewed, met Ronnie, went to lunch with him. He was a junior in high school, fixing to be a senior. I just knew I had this job. I knew I had it. One thing led to another. It didn't work out that I got the job at that time. But I came back for fresh old new wine. I was still at my little First Baptist church. I hadn't really become publicly spirit-filled yet. So I came, and I came to Fresh Old New Wine, and Charles Caron was preaching, and he was preaching on the being a steward of the mystery of God, and he was discussing what it was for the falling out, what it was to be overpowered by the Holy Spirit through laying on of hands. And I never understood that. I knew it happened. I knew it was real, but didn't really get it. He shared it in such a way that was compelling, and it made sense to me. And at that time, Pastor Ron called me up to the front, and he said, "Hey, I need you to help me. I prayed for a man, and he fell, and I prayed. I went back to my little First Baptist church as a good steward of the mysteries of God and prayed for some kids, and they fell. And Thursday, I was told I would be fired. Friday, I was told I could stay, and that could never happen again. Friday night, Saturday, I had the worst case of flu symptoms, demonic attack I'd ever had in my life. Early Sunday morning, I was reading through Exodus, Numbers, where Moses said, "God, if you don't go, we won't go. We'll only go if you go." And I heard God say, "Go." So I left my church, and that began a 20-year real journey for me. And I identify with Moses here, and I'm going to hurry because I got a lot to say and not a lot of time. Moses tried to reason with the Israelites. "Listen, why are you fighting each other? Stop." They rejected him. I thought something was interesting in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, and maybe you will too. It said that Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptian, and he was powerful in both speech and action. But wait, I thought Moses stuttered. But Acts chapter 7, verse 22 says he was powerful in both speech and action. Who said Moses stuttered? Moses. Moses time and again said, "God, I can't because I have a thick tongue. I fumble with my words." God said this, and it's in Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. The Lord asked Moses, "Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord?" And Moses continually, you can read it for yourself, but he continually argued with God that, "God, what you're asking me to do, I cannot do." And he gave excuses for that. So I don't think that Acts chapter 7, verse 22 is contradictory to the word. I think it's a different perspective. I think that Moses, when he tried to first talk the Israelites into getting along and they rejected him, he made a vow, and Satan attacked him and said, "They'll never listen to you. They'll never hear what you have to say. You cannot convince these people." And he fled. And for 40 years, he was in the desert thinking that he could not speak. And he forgot that God had put him in a position for 40 years and trained him to be able to speak to Pharaoh, and he was the only one that could do it, because God saw him as a baby as special, but his circumstances changed, and Moses began to see himself by his circumstances and not by how God saw him. And I'm here this morning to tell you that if you see yourself based on your circumstances, then you have a higher degree of trust in yourself than you do with the Lord. It's easy to do that. You know why? Because I fully know myself. And I don't fully trust the Lord. And I know that's not popular to say from the pulpit. But if we fully trusted the Lord, wouldn't we fully obey the Lord? Just saying. It feels funny to say out loud because I feel not spiritual right now. But truthfully, I'm not spiritual right now. What makes me who I am is Jesus. And if I don't fully rely on Jesus, then I'm a mix of the two and a hybrid, and I'm no good as a hybrid. The only thing good in me is Christ, and everything else is me. And so when you see me and it's good, it's Christ. And when you see me and it's bad, it's me. And I apologize because I don't want you to ever see me. Because the scripture says for us to put on Christ, to clothe ourselves in love and clothe ourselves in righteousness and His righteousness. And you may feel unrighteous, but clothe yourself in Him. Stop thinking it's about you. It's not. It's about Him. But He chose you. All right. I'm going to preach it. I stand up here. I got to go back to it. I'm here because of a relationship. My Abba's House story is the fact that God chose me 20 years ago to be here 20 years ago to form a relationship with a young man who himself was still on a journey. And 20 years later, we've both been through a lot, and we're back together, and he didn't forget me. And our pastor, Ronnie Phillips, doesn't just say we're a house of grace. He himself walks around as a house of grace, and he has brought me here because I am a house of grace. And what I mean by that is you need to be a safe space. You need to commit to this morning to be a safe space. We can't say that Abba's House is a house of grace if you here are part of Abba's House and you're not safe. I asked Sylvie before she came up. She had that little look in her face that when you know people, you know everything ain't okay. I said, "Are you okay?" She said, "No." She took the microphone. She walked immediately to the front of the stage and sang and worshiped as beautifully as I've ever heard her do it and led 1,000 more or more people in worship and walked off the stage still not okay. If you think that you have to be okay to do what God's called you to do, then you'll never do what God's called you to do. You need to trust in Him and do what God's called you to do. I hugged her and I said this, "I hope I'm not as okay as you up here." You know what she said? She said, "I love you, you'll do great." And I don't even care if everybody says I do great, but there's somebody in here that they need to hear that what you have disqualified yourself, and the reason you have disqualified yourself is a lie that either Satan himself is telling you, or guess what? You're telling yourself. Because when God came to Moses, he gave him the opportunity to speak for him. And Moses said, "No." In Numbers chapter 20, verse 8 through 11, it says, "You and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community. As the people watch, speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock. So Moses did as he was told. He took the staff from the place where it was kept before the Lord. Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. Listen, you rebels. He was leading a Baptist church through the wilderness. I don't know what's going on. Listen, you rebels. He shouted, must we bring you water from this rock? Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with his staff, and water gushed out. So the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I'm giving them. I want you to understand that the very last test, God wasn't mad at Moses. God just knew he couldn't use him anymore. Because Moses didn't fully trust God again. Because the very thing that Moses was asked to do was speak. He just said, speak to the rock. And Moses trusted what was in his hand more than he trusted who was telling him what to do. What was in his hand was his crutch. Today, I want you to know three things as I close and the band comes. Number one, I want you to know that you have been created. Students, I want you expressly to listen to me, and I tell you this, I've told you this for a year and a half. You have been created in His image. He has put inside of you a plan that is not dependent on you, but it includes you. I'm going to say that again. God's plan for you isn't dependent on you. It just simply includes you. So when you start to get it twisted, thinking that God's plan is dependent on you, then we stop following God's plan because we begin to follow our own view of what we can and can't do. I don't know if Moses stuttered or not. I'm not up here to get into that debate. I never met him. Here's what I think. I think that he knew that was his biggest weakness. And isn't it just like God to take your biggest weakness, your largest failure, and try to set you right on top of it to be your biggest ministry? So if you're sitting in here and you think, well, I'm a big failure, God's got you properly positioned to just step on top of it. See, I've heard people say this, God's a God of second chances. No, He's not. Chances are our way of looking at things. God is a God of opportunity and calling and purpose and destiny and love. And He's a God of all those things, but He's not a God of chances because He does nothing by chance. It makes us feel better that God's given me another chance. No, you have no more chances when you breathe your last breath. But until you've breathed your last breath, God's given you another opportunity to step out and step past what you think you can't do into what He's calling you to. And the majority of the time He's using our weakness to push us into the thing that He wants us to do. Because if it's in our strength, then we can say we did it. But if it's our weakness, then we have to give God glory. And what He wants more than anything is glory. We've got to start giving it to Him. The next thing, you know what's funny? When Moses fled for those 40 years, the thing that went with him was his calling and his purpose and his passion. All of that went with him. Why do we know that? Because it says that that's how he met his wife. He was delivering people all the way through. And I want to tell you, the last 20 years, I haven't been sitting on a couch waiting for God's opportunity for Abba's house. I've just been loving people. I've just been getting out there. I've been working at a plant saying, hey, you know what? Jesus loves you. And God has used my failures to help me identify with people who have failed. And I put my failures out there to disqualify myself. And God says, I want to qualify you to minister to people that are feel disqualified too. So stop this. Stop thinking that it's all on you. Stop thinking that you're disqualified, because you're not, because His callings are not, they're without repentance. just says, follow me. Third, this world needs Jesus. That's true. But this world needs you. I think it's a cop-out to say Jesus loves you and then not show them how Jesus loves them. And if we're not willing to use our failures to show people how Jesus can manage a failure, then we'll only be talking to successes. And what fun is that? That's a bunch of fake people sitting in a room lying to themselves and everybody else. Because guess what? We're all failures. We're all failures, but where Jesus gets his strength from us embracing our weakness. But if we sit in here and sit in our life groups and all we ever want to do is talk about what nuance in scripture this week, guess what? We need to get real. We've got to get real with each other. Because if we're not willing to get real with each other, we'll never get real with anybody else. So we've got to start practicing this. We've got to get real. And so I was going to wear a tie and a button up and all this stuff. This is me. This is how you're going to see me. And I really didn't even pick out this shirt. My wife picked it out for me, and she put it in the car and said, you're wearing this. I said, yes, ma'am. But I am wearing my skinny jeans. And they're really, they're really just jeans. I'm just fat, and they just fit tight. But this is me. There's nothing special about me. Except for God says there's something special about you. But God looks at you and says there's something special. Stop looking in the mirror at yourself and saying there's nothing special about me. Stop looking at your surroundings and saying there's nothing special about me. Stop looking at your failed marriages and your failed children and your failed businesses and your failures and saying there's nothing special about me. Guess what? That's a lie. You're telling yourself a lie. Stop lying to yourself. Stop doing the work of the devil for your own self. He's the accuser. And he's a liar. And so this morning, I want to rekindle something inside of you as our pastors come. I want our pastors, and here's what I want us to pray. I want us to pray specifically for renewed purpose and renewed passion and for us to use our failures. And I'm not trying to get the altars full, but here's what I want. If you're holding yourself back, stop holding yourself back. Walk to the front. Admit that God's placed something on the inside of you. Embrace it, own it, feel it. Feel all the failure, feel all the pain, feel it all. Bring it to this altar, raise it up to the Lord, and let God show you what's next for you. Because what's next for us here is not a church full of people that look perfect, but a bunch of messed up, failed people that are houses of grace, that are welcoming people and saying, you know what? I messed up too. Hey, let me tell you how I messed up. But let me tell you what Jesus did. And because it's Jesus through us and in us that makes us who we are. And so if that's you, I'm gonna just go ahead and call you to come. We might need some more pastors. We might not. We'll see. I don't even care. But come down. God never fails. He never fails. So if everybody stand on your feet, I'm going to pray and release us this morning. God, we thank you so much that you are a God, not of second chances, but of endless opportunity, of endless calling, of endless gift. And God, I pray that as we walk in faith, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that you'd use our failures, that you'd use our success, that you'd use us, that you would show us and overpower. Holy Spirit, right now I pray that you would overpower any voice of the enemy that's going on in our heads that says that God cannot use you because you're disqualified. That is a lie. God says you're special. He has a purpose and a plan for you, and he wants you to get into it right now. In Jesus' name I pray, come down right now as they sing.